Today we have the interesting pleasure of studying Yeshayahu Perek Kaf Aleph, 21st chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a chapter which contains three separate masa'ot, three separate prophetic visions, each of which contains its own difficulties, but none of which can be precisely tied to a particular historical event. It is very difficult to understand any of the historical references in this chapter. The first masa, which is also the longest and the clearest, goes from Pasuk 1 to 10, and it begins with the words Mitzmasa Midbar Yam, a prophetic vision or prophetic burden relating to the western desert. As we will see, this is understood to relate to Bavel. It's a prophetic vision which regards Bavel in some way, and for reasons which are unclear to us, it calls Bavel the western desert. The next vision, which is extremely short, is Psukim 11 and 12, and it's entitled Masa Duma, prophetic vision regarding Duma. We know very little about Duma, except that Duma is one of the descendants of Yishmael, according to Sefer Bereshit. And the third vision, the last four psukim of the Perek, is Masa Ba'arav, a prophetic vision regarding Arabia in some way. That, at least, seems to in some way to be related to the period of Yeshayahu, but it is very hard to understand the connection between the rest of the visions in this chapter and the period of the Navi Yeshayahu ben Amoz, which we know to be the end of the 8th century BCE. Now, the thematic connections between these nevuot are fairly clear. They all relate to the downfall of some kingdom, empire, or tribe, and that downfall is preceded by a vision or a prophetic oracle, which tells us that this downfall is impending. In some cases, that downfall, that prophetic oracle is related to a vision on a tower. In some cases, it's related to a night vision. But they all seem to be connected to some sort of night vision or night or tower vision. I will begin now with the very first of these, Masa Midbar Yam. Most of the Mefarshim understand Masa Midbar Yam, Psukim 1 to 10, as relating to the period of the Navi, as relating to the period of Shivat Zion, relating to the period of the return to Zion after the destruction of the first temple. As we know, during that period, Bavel, which had exiled the Jews in the time of the first temple, collapsed, and Bavel was replaced by the Persian Empire. That impending destruction of Bavel is discussed briefly in Sefer Daniel, and most of the Mefarshim understand these psukim 1 to 10 of our chapter, as relating to that fall of Bavel, which can be dated to approximately 540 BCE. That is in some ways difficult, as we note that time of the Navi Yeshayahu is really the end of the 8th century BCE, considerably earlier. Some have suggested that this prophecy about the downfall of Bavel should therefore be related to the downfall of Bavel in the time of Sargon II, king of Assyria, who destroyed Bavel. That destruction took place sometime between 720 BCE and 705 BCE. That does not really explain why there is explicit mention here of kingdoms like Elam and Madai. And so the precise historical reference of these psukim remain unclear, but I will deal with some of the pshat and leave the historical reference for another time. Let us begin now with Pasuk Aleph. Masa Midbar Yam, a prophetic vision regarding the western desert. Kisufot banegev lachalof mimidbar ba me'eretz nora'ah. Like storms in the desert to pass from the wilderness coming from a terrible land. You will note that in my translation, there is no real English syntax, and that reflects the lack of proper or understandable syntax in the Hebrew. Like storms in the wilderness, something is passing. What is it that is passing? That remains unclear. It seems most likely that the verb lachalof should be understood as referring to military bands or military divisions of some sort who are passing through the area like storms in the wilderness coming from far away and coming to destroy Bavel. And that idea is expanded in Pasuk Bet. Chazut kashahu gadli, a difficult vision has been given to me. What is the vision? Haboged boged v'hashoded shoded. In the first place, the traitor has been traitorous, the robber is robbing. In some way, the fall of Bavel seems to be preceded here by traitors and robbers. In other words, information about the fall of Babel has been given to the attackers, and they are therefore able with their good military intelligence to cause the downfall of Babel.
Ali Elam, Tsuri Madai, Koran Chatahishbati, rise up, O Elam.
Deliver a siege, O Madai. Elam and Madai are kingdoms which were to the historic, which existed historically and were to the east of Babel. They are participants in the downfall of Babel in around 540 BCE. More than that, we don't really know what the reference is here. The pasuk ends with the reference "Ko anchata hishbati." The phrase "anchata" literally means size or sigh in the singular. We would expect "Ko anchata" with the hay at the end, the mapik hay, her size. I have caused an end to all of her size. The Radak notes here that despite the lack of a mapik hay, we could still understand this phrase as her size. In other words, Babel's size. I have destroyed all of Babel's size. Why has God destroyed all of Babel's size? Well, because Babel has done grievous harm to the Jews, and now it is time for Babel to become silent.
Al-Ken, and Pasuk Gimel seems to be a reference to the speech of the Babylonians who are reacting to this destruction of their city.
Al-Ken mal'u motnai chalchala, therefore my hips have been filled with trembling.
Tzirim achazuni kitzirei yoleida.
Pangs have seized me like the pangs of a birthing woman.
Na'aveti mishimoa.
I am too scared to hear the news that is coming.
Nivhalti miraot.
I am too scared to look at the reality. In other words, this description of the Babylonians who somehow refused to see the writing on the wall, as it were. That's a deliberate pun. The Babylonians refused to see the impending destruction of their beloved city.
Ta'al levavi,
my heart is wandering. The idea of the inability of the speaker to focus.
Palatsut bi'atatni.
Palatsut is used in Tehillim. It refers to a trembling which is uncontrollable, and reflects the trembler's total shock and horror. So trembling has troubled me.
Palatsut biatatni.
Et neshef chishki samli lacharada. My night of desire, in other words, neshef chishki is a night of desire. One would think perhaps it refers to sexual desire, but here the Mefarshim understand differently. Samli lacharada, he has made into trembling. This refers, the Mefarshim understand, to the night on which the Babylonians expected some sort of military victory, and instead they are told that the military victory has not been won, but rather they've suffered a terrible, terrible defeat. And that ties into the imagery of Pasuk Hei, which is in some ways the most difficult of imagery in the Perek.
Aroch hashulchan safo hatzafit, achol shato, kumu hasarim mishchu magen.
So Aroch hashulchan, prepare the table, safo hatzafit, let the watcher in the tower, let him watch.
Achol shato, eat and drink, kumu hasarim mishchu magen,
rise up, O officers, anoint your shields. The anointing of the shield as a task of military preparedness is something that's known from elsewhere in Tanakh. One anoints one's shield in order to ensure that it will deflect arrows, and it's a way of preparing for war. So too, one can understand the watcher in the tower, tzafo hatzafit, is a way of preparing for war. So too, eating and drinking are ways of preparing for a battle. What is aroch hashulchan? Prepare the table. Some understand it here as prepare the table for eating. I do want to here cite a pshat in the name of my student, Emma Bacher from Beersheba, who argued that Aroch HaShulchan here refers to some sort of military preparation involving a sand table. A sand table, as you know from modern military practice, is used to describe in graphic detail the location of the various military forces. One takes a table with sand, one sort of makes one uses one stone to represent one's own forces and another stone to represent the other forces, and discusses the possible directions of the attack and the angles at which defense should be prepared. And she suggested that this whole pasuk is speaking about the preparedness of the Babylonians for the attack. Aruch HaShulchan preparing the sand table, Tzafo HaTzafit, the watcher should watch out, Achol Shato, the fighters are eating and drinking, and while the officers anoint their shields. This is a very interesting pshat, relates to the preparedness of the Babylonians for the battle, preparedness which ultimately will not allow them to win. Kicho amar Eli, Hashem, so does God say to me, Lech ha'amed ha'matzapeh, asher yir'e yagid, go up and prepare the watcher, so that he can say what he sees. V'ra'a rechev tzemed parashim, rechev chamor, rechev gamal. He will see riders, a pair of riders on horses, someone riding on a donkey, someone riding on a camel, and he will v'hikshiv keshev rav kashev, and he will listen very closely. And who is it who is attacking? The next pasuk is quite difficult, and I will render following the Radak, pasuk chet. Vaikra aryeh al mitzpeh. The watcher announces, there is a lion coming upon the watcher. There is a lion coming upon the watchtower. Who is that lion? The Radak says, Himshil madayu faras le'aryeh haomed al mitzpeh al hamitzpeh. Compares Madai and Paras, the attackers of Babel, to a lion who is standing on watch and waiting and seeing whom he can attack. So Aryeh al Mitzpeh, the lion is waiting and watching. This, of course, does violence to the Ta'amim, which break at Aryeh, but it is very difficult to understand the pasuk if we follow the Ta'amim. The rest of the pasuk, according to the Radak, is the statement of God. Amar Hashem, Anochi Omed Tamid Yomam Valaila. Excuse me, Anochi Omed Tamid Yomam Ve'al Mishmarti Anochi Nitzav Kol Halelot. And God is responding, I am standing and waiting, Kivyachol, waiting for the attack of to come to destroy Bavel, because Bavel has done so much harm to the Jews. Anochi omed tamid yomam, I am standing waiting consistently all day. Ve'al mishmarti anochi nitzav kol halilot, and on my watch I am standing on all of the nights. Rashi here, and the Radak also notes this, follow the Midrash here, which understands this is a reference to the Navi Chavakuk, who also uses some of this imagery in his prophecies. The Gematria of Aryeh is the Gematria of Chavakuk. Rashi says, Yishayan nitnabesh atid Chavakuk litpalel alzot v'lomar ken. This is Chavakuk in the future will pray about this, and Yishayah is prophesying about Chavakuk's prayer, says Rashi. V'hine zeva, behold, something is coming. What is it that's coming? Rechav ish, tzemed parashim, a man riding a pair of horsemen. And what do they announce, these horsemen who have arrived? Vayan, vayomer, they announce and they say, Nafla, nafla, Bavel! V'chol pesilei Eloheha shibar la'aretz. They announce, Bavel has fallen, Bavel has fallen. And all the idols of its gods, all the statues of its gods, have been smashed to the earth. The destruction of Bavel is connected here to the destruction of Bavel's idols. Bavel, historically, one should note, is a religious center, and so the destruction of its idols are of particular import. Medushati uven, pasuk yod, medushati uven gorni. My trampling, my threshing floor. And this appears to be a reference to God's, to divine speech. God is saying, I have trampled Bavel. I have destroyed Bavel. Asher, and the pasuk concludes with the conclusion of the vision. Asher shamati me'et Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael higadti lachem. The prophet takes pains to inform you that this information is received from the Lord, from Hashem, Tzvakot, the God of the armies, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. This vision is received from the God of Israel. This is a vision about the fall of Babel, which the God of Israel has given in advance. God has announced the fall of Babel, therefore, and the fall of Babel reflects divine power. The next prophetic vision, verses 11 and 12, relate to Duma. Duma, as we noted before, is a kingdom about which we know very little. It is one of the descendants of Ishmael, and its kingdom is perhaps located in the Arabian Peninsula somewhere. This is, as is known, a pasuk in Bava Basra. This is a pasuk which is chiefly famous because it is quoted in the first parak of Bava Batra. But it also has a pshat significance, and while that pshat significance is quite difficult, I will attempt to uncover it as follows. Masaduma. Elai kore mi Seir. Someone calls to me from Seir. Seir is the kingdom of Edom. Someone calls to me from Seir, which borders the Arabian desert. And what does the call from Seir? Shomer ma milayla, shomer ma milayl. So literally, O guard, what from the night? O guard, what from the night? The Radak here tries to interpret the question. Mami leilotam vimotam shel Duma. What is happening at the nights and days of Duma? Has the time of their end come that we should go and attack Duma? That is one possibility, but it is also possible that it is simply a call of a watchman saying, someone calling to the watchman saying, watchman, is this night different than any other night? Is this night similar? Is all well? Amar Shomer, the watchman says, Ata voker vegam laila. The morning has come, and so too has the night. That is a somewhat enigmatic sentence. What does it mean, the night has come, the morning has come, and also the night? I can understand the watchman announcing morning, but what does it mean when the watchman announces night? The Radak here comments, Ata voker, the morning has come and the attack should be launched on Duma. But so too is the night come. The attack is not certain that it will succeed. There will be a destruction as well as a victory. Ata voker vegam laila. Look, sha'atem surim. It's not like you think, says the Radak. Ela voker la tzadikim. The morning will come to the righteous. Ve'laila lar sha'im. Light will come to the righteous, night or evening to the wicked ones. Boker l'Israel v'layla l'umot ha'olam. Morning for Israel, night for the nations of the world. Amru lo e'matai, they ask him when, and he answers, whenever you want. That is a little bit difficult, but it's based on the next words. Im tiv'ayun ba'ayu. Excuse me, im tiv'ayun ba'ayu. This seems to be Aramaic, and seems to mean, if you will ask, ask. The rest of the pasuk also contains an Aramaic word, shuvu etayu. Shuvu, return, etayu, come. And so the Radak here understands this, perhaps midrashically, and perhaps this is even pshat, saying, when will morning come for the righteous ones, as well as night for the evil ones? If you want, it will come right away. Shuvu, all that you need is shuvu, return, tshuva. This is a very nice prophetic vision for Am Yisrael. What it has to do with Duma remains unclear. The Radak also notes that there is a midrash quoted in the Yerushalmi at the beginning of Ta'anit that Masa Duma relates to Rome. It's about the fall of Rome. So the idea that the return from this fourth exile is dependent on Am Yisrael doing tshuva. Sukim Yud Gimel and following relate Masa Ba'arav, a vision regarding Arabia, and specifically regarding certain parts of Arabia. The vision seems to relate specifically to the tribe of Kedar. Kedar, as we know, is one of the tribes of Arabia. And it relates to the destruction of Kedar. Kedar, at least, we can identify in the time of Yeshayahu. There is a kingdom called Kedar. There is are kingdoms in Arabia. There is even a queen in Arabia in the time of Yeshayahu in the late 8th century. And that kingdom is conquered by Assyria. And perhaps this part of the vision, at least, relates specifically to the time of the Navi Yeshayahu. Masa ba'arav. Bayar ba'arav talinu orchot didanim. In the forests of Arabia, you should camp, or you should spend the night, O you caravans of Didanim. Why should you spend the night in the forests? Why not in the cities? Likrat samei heitayu mayim. In preparation for your thirst, bring water. Yoshvei eretz tema belachmo kidmu noded. Those who dwell in the land of Tema with bread come forth to those who are wandering. In other words, you need water, you need bread, you're not living in cities anymore, and you're not carrying your usual camel packs anymore. Why? Ki mipnei charavot nadadu, because you have wandered because of destruction. Mipnei cherev netusha, because of a thrown out sword, a sword that's about to be used. Umipnei keshet durucha, and because of, and you're running away because of a, or from before a prepared bow, a bow which is already has its arrow in it and is about to be launched. Umipnei kovet milchama, and from before the heaviness of the war. In other words, the people who are wandering here are wandering not as normal wanderers or nomads, but because of destruction. Kicho amar Hashem elai, because so does God say to me, Be'od shana kishnei sachir v'chalako kivod kedar. This is a phrase very similar to one that when we saw in the prophecy about Moab. God has said to me, in another year, exactly, just like a hired man counts out his year exactly, the honor of Kedar will end. Usha'ar mispar keshet giborei v'nei kedar yim'atu. And the remaining ones who know how to count the bow, the brave ones of Kedar, will become few. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael diber, because Hashem, the God of Israel, has spoken. The prophecy relates to the destruction of Kedar. No reason is given, save that God himself has spoken that this should happen. This prophecy can be related to all the prophecies in this perek, only in the sense that all the prophecies in this perek are about destructions which God foretells. I realize that is not an entirely satisfying conclusion to what the unifying theme in this perek is. I gave some suggestions taken from Midrash as I went through the perek, but ultimately the pshat in this perek is extremely difficult.